Hello, Matern and Maria. Thank you very much for dropping by today and sharing with us some of your musical knowledge and background.
Hello, Randy. It's great to be on your show, and thank you for inviting us.
Maria, you do an excellent version of the Abbey Lincoln classic, Throw It Away. I was just wondering, why did you choose to record this particular composition of hers?
The song that Abbey Lincoln did, it's a song that I heard many, many years ago, and another jazz singer that I knew very well, Patricia Bysons, she sang the song on one of her gigs, and I heard it, and I thought, wow, I love the lyrics. Then I listened to the original by Abby herself, and I loved the song even more, and I told Matern about the song, but I didn't have a recording of it anywhere. So I told him, I said, just run the tape and I will sing the song, and then you can hear how the melody goes. And so actually the whole idea was to sing it for him and then to record it with both of us together with voice and guitar. So I sang the song and he listened to it and I listened to it. We thought it sounded pretty nice and decided to just leave it on there like it was. When I sing the song, I also sing it for my grandmother. The lyrics, I sort of associate the lyrics with her memory.
Well, Maria, we're going to listen to the Abbey Lincoln version, and then we're going to follow that up with your rendition of Throw It Away. Aside from guitarists being an influence on your playing, Matern, I know that Bill Evans was always a great influence on you. Now, I'd like to know, what was it about his playing and about his talent that influenced you so much?
Well, of course, there are many, many musicians that have an influence on your playing in the end. I mean, you can't even begin to name them. But if one of the names that really comes to mind, if I think about my own influences, is pianist Bill Evans, because he had such an incredible sensibility and such a sensibility that was, to me, sounded almost like classical music, but still it had the freedom and the swing and those elements of jazz. And to me, this music has always been very intense, and that's something I think anyone strives for in music. And in fact, I some of the arrangements that I have done for solo guitar, in some way influenced by Bill Evans, in the sense that what I liked about his approach to many standards is that I think he used to play some standards for a very long time, and these even though they were improvisations, these improvisations sort of evolved into compositions. When he played My Romance, for instance, after many years, he would play this enormous intro, which was to me just like a classical piece, and then this had obviously evolved from playing this tune many times and adding new elements to it every time. At least that's what I imagine. I would love to be able to get that kind of level of, the combination of composition and improvisation and intensity into any piece that I could play. I could say I'm influenced by that especially in my solo guitar playing. In fact, I chose My Romance as one of the pieces I recorded some time ago for solo guitar, mainly because I was so in awe of some of the versions that I've heard of Bill Evans.
What elements of your classical training that you've had do you find helps you out when you're playing the guitar?
You asked about classical training. Well, as you said, I started out with classical training, and in fact that was the only kind of guitar training I could get where I was living when I was starting out playing guitar when I was about 10 or 11 years old. And at the time I also didn't really have any particular preference in music. I just liked music in general and I liked the guitar, and so I started out with classical. And just in general, it gives you a good start in your technique. Also, some of the pieces I learned to play eventually, I mean after many years, I especially liked Bach, and there are several or many lute transcriptions for guitar, which are very beautiful but also very difficult to play. Those pieces, you were really playing three parts at the same time on your guitar, and it really was, it showed me it showed me that you can approach guitar not just simply as an instrument for playing a melody or a chord, but that you can use the guitar as an instrument on which you can play different things at the same time. Technically, that's pretty tough, but it really opens your mind to what is really possible on a guitar. Also, of course, in jazz, you would mostly play with a plectrum with your right hand, and of course, in classical music, you play with your fingernails, and I still do that. I still, even though I use a plectrum most of the time now, I still can play. I still have long fingernails on the right hand. I can still play with the fingernails, and I still use that. Especially if I play anything in a Latin vein, then it comes in very handy. I can really use the classical technique.
What type of equipment do you use performing and for studio work as well?
Well, there are so many different kinds. I mean, for a guitarist, there's just an endless variety of guitars and equipment. In fact, I've never really been that much into gear because it distracts me. The instrument I play most is actually just a very ordinary Epiphone Sheraton guitar, which is convenient because it's the sort of guitar that you can use for almost any kind of modern music. You can play jazz on it, you can play rock, you can play funk, you can play basically any kind of music on that kind of guitar. For me, of course, sound is very important, but at the same time, you don't want to get distracted too much from the music by too many different guitars or too much gear or too much stuff that you have to take care of. I've always liked to keep things convenient so that you can just go somewhere, plug in your guitar and play. I mean, I also still have only one amp that I have used always, which is a small Sessionette, and it sounds good to me. When I bought it, I mainly bought it because it was so convenient. It was pretty small. I could carry it around easily. And as I said, you could just pick it up, take your guitar and go anywhere and unpack and play without a lot of hassle. And I've often thought of getting a different guitar and getting a different amp, but
do you remember your first performance with Maria?
Our first performance together? Well, I was playing in this quartet, and then one night Maria joined us. And I have to admit, in the beginning I wasn't really into vocal jazz that much. I mean, I was much more an instrumental guy. And anyway, she quickly proved that she really could sing. And it went very well, but in fact, Maria said that she had worked with a guitarist before, and she would like to do that again. She had very good experience with that kind of performance. So we thought about doing that, and we rehearsed a little bit, and then pretty soon we decided we wanted to have really our own band and do our own things, our own music. So we started our own band, and this is the band that we recorded the first CD with, Easy to Love. This was also the same time that we met Bart Plateau, who you featured on your show, and of course Amina Figueroa. In fact, Bart was in our band in the beginning, and then when we met Amina, of course, it was obvious that it would be a great opportunity to work with her as well.
You must have received a lot of comments from listeners regarding the sound that you get from your guitar and your equipment.
Actually, I also had a lot of comments on my sound, and people have often said, oh, it sounds good, and your guitar sounds good. What is it? What is it? And what kind of amp do you play? And I think in many cases they don't realize that what really makes the sound is basically the player and much less the instrument and the gear that you have.
There must be a flip side to this as well.
Still, on the other hand, of course, it can also work the other way around. If you have a really, really nice guitar, it can inspire you to do certain things.
I guess you would use this example relating to your CD entitled Up Close.
On the CD Up Close, for instance, on three tracks I've used a handmade archtop guitar that was built by a good friend of mine, Frans Elferink, a Dutch luthier who built this guitar. And if you've heard it, you've noticed that it has a very nice jazz sound, but it also has an acoustic sound. In fact, it has a Dearmond pickup and a built-in condenser microphone, and you can mix the two inputs to create a more electric sound or a more acoustic sound, and somewhere in between is for me the perfect sound where it has the body of the electric sound and the crispness of the acoustic sound added to that. If you play that guitar, it sounds so good that you just get inspired to play things. And strangely enough, it inspires you to play simple because just simple notes already sound so good that you don't feel the need to do anything really complicated. But also it inspired me to do some solo guitar recording, which I never really had done before. And especially for solo guitar, the sound becomes very, very important. Because if I would use my Epiphone, which is quite all right for a lot of kinds of music, I wouldn't really like it for solo guitar, because it just doesn't have that really rich acoustic, clear sound that makes the solo recording sound so good, sound so nice. For instance, I did some solo recording, and one of these solo recordings is also on the CD Up Close. It's the piece Around Midnight. I made sort of my own arrangement of it. I guess if you would listen to it, you would also recognize a little bit of my classical background, because in the intro I use a technique which would be more maybe appropriate for a Spanish piece than for a jazz piece. But anyway, you can hear some of the different influences in this piece. And finally, I've played on the CD Up Close. I've also used an Admira Spanish guitar. But it's one of those guitars that is amplified so that it has a built-in microphone and a little equalizer built-in. I also got this guitar because it's so convenient. If you just want to play, you just plug it in and play without having to worry about where to put the microphone and if you're sitting at the right distance and you're not getting any background noises, if you're recording. And I mean, the convenience of it just really helps you concentrate on the music and not be distracted by anything else. And even if it may not have the best possible sound, the fact that you can really concentrate on playing and not have to worry about the recording stuff, I think in the end gives the best result.
When discussing all these positive influences in your life, Matern, there must be a downside to all this as well.
At the same time that, of course, you can get inspired by that, you can also again get frustrated, because if you try to do anything similar, then you will inevitably find out you can't do it the same way, you can't do it at the same level. But then you just have to, you know, use the inspiration to get the best out of yourself that you can, and at the same time be, you know, being able to accept what you actually can do, and that's it.
And what were some of your musical influences, Matern?
Early influences? Well, I think the first and probably the most important guitar player for me, the first influence of someone that I really, really liked was Montgomery. And I had some records of him, and for many years that was my example.
I know you were saying that Wes Montgomery was a huge influence on your style of playing. Were there any other guitarists or any other influences that affected you while you were growing up and learning the guitar?
And Wes Montgomery is still one of my main examples. He just had this incredible smooth sound, and his timing was always terrific. You know, that will always remain one of my great examples. Now, I guess there are some guitarists that you just can't get around, that any guitarist has probably been influenced by at some point. I mean, if you talk about guys like John Scofield or Pat Metheny, these are just the guys that have such a unique style and such an impact. I mean, you just can't get around that. But as for myself, I have to say I'm probably also influenced quite a lot by piano players. And I've always been a little bit envious of piano players, because they have so many keys instead of the six strings of the guitar. And there's so much you can do in terms of harmony on the piano that you can do to some extent on the guitar, but it can be very difficult. It's much more difficult on the guitar to play chords with very tight voicings, for instance. And it's difficult on a guitar to get the same kind of harmonic richness that you can have on a piano. When people ask me what are your examples, I would still say Wes Montgomery and John Scofield are the two main influences. Wes Montgomery I like because he was really my first example and still is, because of his great tone, his great timing, his great swing. Everything always sounds perfect and smooth and fresh. That will always be one of my main examples. And John Scofield is one of the modern players that I like a lot, and because he has really his very own unique style, which is also something I really enjoy. I couldn't really say what exactly is it about his playing that I like. He's just original in his own way.
How did you get into jazz?
And just as choosing the guitar as my instrument was more or less a coincidence, I guess you could say the same for my getting into jazz. I had a friend in school who had a brother who's playing in a jazz band, and I just liked the music, and I started looking for some jazz records. I didn't know the first thing about jazz, but I just was looking for some records that I could afford when I was, I think, 11 or 12 years old. And I bought on sale was a recording of Charlie Parker and Miles Davis.
That must have been a reawakening for you.
And I had no idea what I had bought. And when I listened to it first, I didn't really get it right away. So I thought, so this is jazz. And I was only 12 years old. I'd never really heard that kind of jazz before. So really very new to me. But even though I didn't take to it immediately, it sort of stuck in my mind, and I just kept playing it. And at some point, it just intrigued me. And in fact, I started to like it more and more. And at some point, I even decided I want to know what they're doing. I want to know what they're playing. I want to some of the pieces that Charlie Parker played. I mean, like, the well-known things like Ornithology and Bird of Paradise are the titles that come to mind. I remember that when I was 13, I was just played guitar for 2 or 3 years. And I had heard this recording quite a lot, and was really intrigued by what they were playing. I had the feeling that this is great. I don't know what it is. I don't know what they're doing, but I would like to know what they're doing.
Did you do like so many other musicians and want to transcribe the music for yourself?
So I decided to transcribe one of the Charlie Parker solos on this record. And, well, as you can imagine, that took me quite a while. I had an old record player that I could play at half speed. So I played one of the Parker solos. I think it was Ornithology. I played it at half speed and just picked out the notes one by one and started playing it on my guitar. And that's really, with the little knowledge I had of music and the little knowledge of chords and harmonies that I had after playing guitar for 3 years, it just struck me as genius. I think that was the point in time that I particularly remember when I was really in awe of the level of artistry of a musician like Charlie Parker. And I think that was the moment that I really got hooked to jazz. And even though now, later, I don't just play jazz, I play different kinds of music, but jazz will always be my main inspiration, I guess.
What guitarist do you listen to most these days?
The guitarist, the modern guitarist that I listen most to is John Scofield. I think he has a unique style that is really his own and is really original. And he always manages to keep it interesting, which is quite an accomplishment. I mean, that's one of the very difficult things, I think, for a musician. Even if you have achieved a certain level, it's so easy to just be content and play the same thing for the rest of your life, so to speak. I really like artists that try to keep changing and try to keep adding something new to their play.
Another composition, actually an original from you and Matern off of your album Up Close, is one of my favorites, and it's entitled Alone. What is that song about?
The song Alone, when I heard the melody to that, I thought about my son's girlfriend. My son had broken up with his girlfriend, and it was so sad, and she was so heartbroken, and it was right at that period when I heard that melody, I right away associated that with her broken heart, and how we all feel when we lose a great love. So
Now, Alone was also recorded on your album, 14 Pieces for Harp and Bass, as well as on the album Up Close, wasn't it?
Alone was recorded on 14 Pieces for Harp and Bass, and we did it again on the duo CD Up Close, because I thought it, you know, was a nice song to do with just the two of us. So thought I'd mention that.
14 Pieces for Harp and Bass is a pivotal recording for you and Matern. We heard from Matern a little earlier describing how the album came about. Now, I'm sure that when you found out that Niels Henning Orsted Petersen was going to be on the recording, that must have made you very, very happy indeed. Can you discuss your point of view as to how this recording came about and what was involved in making it?
Well, Matern and I got an idea to record some of our own songs. Well, that was a really exciting thought to do some of our own songs, to record some of our own songs. So we started thinking on how we would want to do that, and we were thinking about doing this with an acoustic and an electric bass. I happen to know a great bass player, Hein van der Gijn, and I've always been a great fan of his, and he works in the conservatory here in The Hague. So I decided to surprise him and give him our tape. And anyway, he promised to listen, and after he heard it, he was really enthused about our music, which made us real happy and excited. And he said he thought it was a real good idea to record an album with these songs, and that he would love to produce it. So, because he was planning to produce the album, he thought it would be a good idea to have another acoustic bass player. When Hein first mentioned Niels Henning, I was thrilled to pieces. I was thinking, this is unbelievable. This is just fantastic to have somebody such a great bass player work with us. Through my son Terry, we got Gary Willis, and we sent him some of our music, and he was willing to do some pieces with us too. So while he was on tour in Holland and did some clinics right near us, he was able to record with us, and which was also thrilling because he's never really done any kind of anything like that, you know. This was a little bit different from what he usually does. But anyway, it was a great opportunity to get him. Anyway, the thing grew and grew, and then we decided to add another bass player, Pino Palladino, because we found out that he was also in town in the period that we were recording, and that he would also be honored to do a couple of pieces. So this way, you know, we had like all these different bass players doing solos, and yeah, that makes the album quite unique. Well, we have a really great memory of making that album. When Niels Henning agreed to record with us, and we went to Copenhagen to meet him there and to record over there, the whole thing was such a ball. I mean, it was such a thrill to experience.
Maria, you were born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. Discuss with us your musical background.
As far as my musical background is concerned, I've always been singing, I guess, ever since I can remember. But when I was a teenager, back in Georgia, I started singing regularly with a band, and we did some radio stations, and I was into the Motown music at that time, and there was one of the guys in the band who was a pretty good guitarist, and he introduced me to a record of Julie London, and I think it was Joe Pass together, just the voice and the guitar. And I listened to that, and I learned some of the songs and started doing that with him, and well, that was a lot of fun, and I guess that was the first time I ever listened to anything else except pop music. Later on, much later on, when I was living back in Holland again, I started singing jazz music. Well, I've just, you know, really enjoyed that, and I've been into jazz, I guess, more or less pop jazz kind of music for the last 10 years now.
I'm sure there are many vocalists and even non-vocalists out there who have influenced you over your career.
There are so many singers that I have listened to that I have admired, and I could really, you know, I would have to make a long, long list, because there are so many of them that I have been influenced by. But when I first started listening to jazz, the first singer I started to study was Billie Holiday. And later on, I've heard many, many jazz singers tell me the same thing. They all start off listening to Billie. Besides Billie, I listened to Joni Mitchell, really liked her too. And anyway, I loved listening to Joni Mitchell, and I love her work. And Abby Lincoln, of course, is one of them too. But those three people, they're my very favorite jazz singers. And just a few of the long, long list of people that I admire.
Maria, the first time that I heard Put On Your Wings, your version of that song that was written by Amina Figueroa, I immediately thought of the Brazilian singer Flora Purim, and I would love to have heard her do a version of that particular piece. Now, what was it that you liked so much about this composition that made you want to perform it?
Well, that's funny you should mention Flora Purim. I used to love to listen to her. It's been a long while now since I've heard her, and maybe I should start looking up some of her music. I'm sure she would do a great job on Put On Your Wings. I think it's a fun song, and it's a happy song. And when first Amina sent me the tape with the music on it, I immediately got the lyrics. I tell you, it wasn't easy to do that song for me in such a fast tempo, so I had to practice a lot to get it right for the recording.
But that's basically the basis of composing songs. I mean, based on so many different feelings, and I would say emotions as well.
You know, that's usually the way songs are made. They're based on emotions and about things you feel, and you know, music does that, brings you in a certain mood. It's very interesting. The only way I can really write lyrics is if Matern gives me a melody. I right away get an emotion with that melody and a story. So that's about the only way I can write a lyric, is by hearing the music. And well, I guess I should start writing some more music, because it's been a while since I've done any lyrics lately. So we should be working on a new project.
Southern Memories is another beautiful composition that I particularly like, that was also written by Amina Figueroa. What are your thoughts regarding this particular piece?
Besides the Put On Your Wings, Southern Memories is also a song Amina wrote, and I wrote the lyrics to that song too. That was quite unique, because I was at her house one night and she started playing the melody, and right away I got an association with my background, Georgia. She wrote it actually without me knowing about Azerbaijan, about her emotions about her country. And when I heard the melody, I right away thought about Atlanta and about my background there. So we both had the same emotion about that song, which was very special. And when she read the lyrics, it was also almost like it were her lyrics, like she wrote it herself. And so that means, well, that's pretty special, because you have the same emotions about a certain melody, certain song. And well, Matern and I also had the same kind of thing going with the songs that we wrote. He would have a beautiful melody, and I would listen to it, and I would right away get an emotion with that.
There's a recording that you made with Maria Harp entitled 14 Pieces for Harp and Bass. When you listen to that recording, it's not only beautiful, but it's very special on many levels. I guess because of the talent that you were able to assemble for this recording, including one of the legends on the jazz bass, Niels Henning Ørsted Petersen. How did this recording come about?
Yeah, about the album 14 Pieces for Harp and Bass. In fact, it was quite an interesting development to see how this project got bigger than we originally intended it to be. Well, we first thought of two bass players, an acoustic and electric one, because we had some different moods in our songs, and we first asked Hein van de Gijn, not only as a bass player but also as a producer, and perhaps to see if he was interested to have this recorded for his record label. And he was quite positive about all the compositions that we had made, and he was immediately all for it. And then from Maria Santeri we got into contact with Gary Willis. He said, sure, I could do it, but I would want to hear some of the music first, because I want to know what it is. So we sent him a tape with a very rough demo, and he immediately said, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And more or less the same happened with Pino Palladino. And then finally, when we had three bass players already, then Hein said, okay, since we have two electric players and one acoustic player, and since I'm also producing this, it might be nice to balance things out, so to speak, why don't we get one more acoustic player in? And he said, what if I ask Niels Henning? Niels Henning Ørsted Petersen.
Wow, no kidding.
So I guess we just tried to look not too surprised, and we said, sure. And that's what happened. The only condition from Niels was that, Niels Henning, was that we would record in Copenhagen, which we did. And the whole experience was really amazing. And I think it's still pretty unique to have one CD with four bass players from really different parts of the jazz and pop scene, which have never really been in the same context before, and to be on one CD. I think it's pretty special.
Did you come from a musical family?
My parents were not musical. They did encourage me to take up music. Not necessarily as a profession, but just to take up music as a part of my education. I know that my dad did some singing in church, in a Catholic church, and of my mother, I know that she always wanted to play the piano, but her parents really couldn't afford a piano show, so it never happened. But probably also because of this, because she really wanted it, she also encouraged me to take up music. Thank you.
Maria Harp has played such an important role in your musical life, Matur, and I'd like you to discuss a little bit what it is about this woman that's so special. I mean, she is such an incredible singer on a lot of fronts. She has an interesting way of not only telling a story, but conveying the feeling of the piece as well. What are your thoughts on this?
You know, Maria is really the kind of singer that really is most interested in getting the message across to the audience. So she's really someone who, when she's singing, really knows how to tell the story to the audience and to convey the feeling of the tune to the audience. And in that respect, I think, even though we have a lot of good singers here in Holland, there are hardly any other singers that I know of here that have that same kind of intuitive feeling of how to interpret a song. And I guess we have influenced each other a lot, because when we started working together, I was really into jazz very deeply, and anything outside of jazz I was a little bit wary of. And she, on the other hand, had started out with pop music and was going into jazz, and so we came, so to speak, from different worlds. And I think this has finally resulted in a very very fresh combination.
What made you decide to play the guitar?
Well, you know, it's just one of those chance things. I just like music a lot. I didn't have any real idea of styles of music. I just liked practically anything. And there was a little shop in the town where I lived that had a guitar displayed in the window, so that was just the first thing. I saw this guitar and thought, I have to have it. They advised me to take lessons, so that's how I got started on classical guitar lessons. So, in fact, my choice of the guitar was more or less by coincidence. That was the first instrument I ran into. It was just the first instrument that I really came in contact with and was within my reach to get. And I'm not sorry I chose the guitar, although I can be quite envious of piano players, because sometimes you can get frustrated by the limitations of, I mean, that probably applies to any instrument, but I've listened a lot to piano players, and I'm always a little bit envious of what you can do on a piano in terms of harmony. On the other hand, if you've played some classical, then you also realize that if you do have a good technique and you're able to stretch your fingers and distill quite a lot, you can do on a guitar.